All of us face trials in life of one kind or another. No one is excluded. Some people can face them better than others. What makes the difference? Perhaps I should say, who makes the difference? In my thinking, it is Jesus Christ who makes the difference. We see from the sixth chapter of John's Gospel that the thousands who were fed by Christ were enthralled by his mighty miracle. They wanted to claim him as their king immediately, not necessarily because they recognized him as the Son of God, but because of his power to perform miracles. But this was not his purpose in coming into the world. Verse 15 tells us, "When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone." Now earlier, Satan had made a similar appeal when he took Christ to a high mountain where he showed him all the kingdoms of the world, and he said, "All these things will I give you if you will fall down and worship me." Satan is willing to go to the most ridiculous extremes in his attempt to further his purposes. Doubtless, he was guilty of inspiring the multitude Christ fed to make this second appeal to make him a king. Our Savior's response suggests conclusively that he is the Son of God. If he had been a mere man, he would have snatched this opportunity for achievement. But Christ humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Our Lord's response reveals his profound humility. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. It was not his time to become king. The day yet remains when he shall come back again, not to die on a cross, but to rule with a rod of iron as King of kings and Lord of lords. Christ departed again into a mountain himself alone. Every believer is to be where people are so that they might witness for Christ, but there are to be periods in our busy schedules when we withdraw from everyone to be alone with God. If the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, needed this aloneness with the Father, how much more you and I must resort to the quiet time? No day should be permitted to pass without at least some time in the presence of the Lord. In the meantime, the disciples who had stayed on with the multitudes prepared to cross back over the Sea of Galilee. We read in verses 16 and 17, "And when evening was now come, his disciples went down to the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them." Both Matthew and Mark tell us that our Lord had constrained them to leave for the opposite shore of Galilee. Thus the little band of disciples climbed into the borrowed boat to begin their journey of 6 or 7 miles across the sea toward Capernaum. Our Lord spent more time and performed more miracles in and around Capernaum than in any other place. Doubtless this is what was meant when he said, "And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day." With all the opportunities that were given the people in Capernaum to believe, many of them hardened their hearts toward Christ. How serious is the responsibility when one knows what to do but refuses to do it. It was dark, and Jesus was not come to them, the Bible says. The word is really darkness. This is suggestive of the age in which we are living. There is so much misery and sorrow, and still Jesus has not come. But where was Jesus as the disciples pointed the bow of their little boat out into the darkness? He was in the mountain. Doubtless he was interceding for his disciples as he intercedes for us today. He is the faithful high priest who ever liveth, the Bible says, to make intercession for his people. Verse 18, "And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew." The disciples entered into the boat after sundown. It seemed to be an extremely dark night, for a storm was on its way. The farther they rode, the more tempestuous the sea became. This must have been a difficult experience for the disciples. Only hours before, they had witnessed one of the greatest miracles Christ had ever performed. They were convinced that he could do all things. Now, out on the sea, in the midst of a terrifying storm, they found themselves faced with possible shipwreck, even drowning. Where was Christ? Why did he do something like this? Should his faithful followers be expected to face storms such as this? Ah, yes. This is the believer's lot. We read in Philippians 1, verse 29, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake." Trials are an important part of being a Christian. How would we react toward God were we permitted to bask in the sunshine of ease and satisfaction continuously? Storms are necessary. Someone has said, "Many of God's greatest blessings have come to us in rough wrappings, but there is gold inside." We are not told why the disciples had to face the storm, but something far better transpired. Christ went to them and calmed the storm. Verse 19, "So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid." The disciples had been rowing about 9 hours, which would make it about 3 a.m., and they were only halfway across the sea. We sensed something of the severity of the storm when we realized that most of the disciples were men who were rugged, outdoor men. Several of them had been fishermen. They knew all about the sudden storms that arose on the Sea of Galilee. Yet they were frightened. But they were even more afraid when they saw the human form walking on the sea, coming closer and closer. It seemed to be Christ, but they were not sure until he spoke, "It is I. Be not afraid." Some have questioned this miracle of Christ walking on the sea. Would it not be within the power of the one who established the laws of nature to suspend them at will? He who created the sea could certainly control the sea. We worship a Christ who is Lord of all. All things are made by him, and all things are controlled by him. He is sufficient for every problem of life. After hearing his voice, the disciples willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Actually, there are two miracles here: Christ walking on the sea and the ship reaching the port immediately. It made all the difference in the world when Christ stepped into the ship. In the same manner, it makes all the difference when Christ is received into one's life. How many people are floundering about on the sea of life, fearful and disturbed, without God's peace? They need Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what might have happened to that ship had the disciples refused to permit Christ to enter the boat? But the scripture says they willingly received him into the ship. Of their own accord and volition, they invited Christ to come in. He would not have entered in any other way, nor does he enter the heart of anyone who will not receive him willingly. Have you received him into your heart and life? The Bible says, "Whosoever will may come." Will you will to come to Jesus Christ today? If you will, just simply bow your head and say, "Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but I realize that you died for my sins, and right now, I will to believe. I receive you into my heart and life as Savior and Lord, and Jesus will enter never to leave." Do it, dear friend. Then write to us and tell us about your decision, and we shall send you some very helpful literature. No obligation whatsoever. We'll have the address in just a minute or two. Blessed God, how we praise you for Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins. And we pray that some today will enter into the victory of everlasting life as they trust Christ by faith and receive Him as Savior and Lord. We know, our Father, we are weak in the flesh, but Jesus Christ can do all things. He works miracles. He can change our lives. He can change our course. He can change our circumstances. So, Father, may some open their hearts to Him right now, I pray. For I ask in His holy name. Amen.